Is that better? As this week has progressed, I have had the experience of talking to a number of friends and acquaintances who said, man, what a week. Can you sympathize with that? Man, what a week. And as I was thinking about what to share with you, my church family, there have been phone calls and comments and concerns and messages this week. And so at the end of the week, I was going, man, what a week. Come, let us reason together. That was our text for today. And by today's standard, that's a novel approach. We are used to campaign rhetoric that is long on exaggeration and short on reasoning. Political ads that demonize rather than inform, and congressional gridlock based on more party loyalty than any logical thought whatsoever. Trash talk is in, reason is out. Shouting is in, reason is out. And unfortunately, the lack of reasoning together seems to spread to all areas of life, from home to school to office to church. In many cases, there's a lot of speaking at each other and not very much speaking with each other. So I want to talk this morning for a while about come. Let us reason together. I thought that text would be a good one as we consider the process of bringing a new pastor to our church and how we interact with each other. Like so many institutions and like so many organizations in our culture today, we have many challenges and we have many opportunities before us. Today and in the weeks and the days ahead, we're going to have opportunities to come together and reason, to consider what God would have us do. In my experience in this church here at Carson City, this has always been a church that reasoned together. And I have enjoyed that and celebrated that. But recently, there's been some dissent and some dissatisfaction rumors going around. And there have been some comments and perhaps some words expressed that lack the love that I think all of us would like to see in our church. We believe the best reasoning takes broad participation. We do not subscribe to the concept that a few people make the decisions. We as a church family, want to be inclusive. We value the input and the opinions and the counsel of all of our brothers and sisters. The best churches have the best participation. So I invite you, my church family, today to come together and do something that's kind of countercultural. Let's actually listen to one another and reason together. I know that may be a new concept, but let's try it. Reasoning is a very good way to approach challenges. Reasoning requires that we think through all of the possible ramifications and outcomes of our decisions. Reasoning welcomes the charitable and God-based comments of everyone at the table. Most importantly, Christian reasoning refuses to let anger and resentment and disappointment and personal feelings overshadow the greater need of the body of Christ, the church. From a biblical perspective, there is a prerequisite for reasoning, and that is surrender. We cannot reason the way God asks us to. We cannot function in unity unless we first surrender our will and our desires to God. If we reason together as the church on any subject, we must realize it is not about what we want. It's about what He wants. It is not about what we desire. It is about His plan for us. reasoning together on spiritual matters is all about what God desires, what the Creator determines best for His people and His church. Scripture is full of examples of messengers and messages and situations that God's people did not want. Scripture also shows us that in all cases, God always knows what is best for His people. He knows what we really need. We just have to listen. In the disciples and in the early church, we see the disruption and conflict that arises when it's about the individual's personal desires instead of being about Christ. Who was going to be first? Who was the favorite? Who was in the lead? Who had the authority? The church, as followers of Christ, has always struggled with egos, with personal feelings, and with agendas. The amazing thing is, when all of that is put aside and we focus on what God wants, what God's will is, that's when the church has always done its most amazing thing. It has reached out and touched the world when we focus on God rather than what we want. The greatest strides our church has ever made is when self was laid aside and we got down on our knees and we said, God, show us. We're struggling here. Put another way, the question is, are we here to serve or are we here to be served? Pause for a moment and look at Jesus. Look at what Christ did as an example for you and for I. The Prince of Heaven, the very Son of God, kneels with a towel before His disciples, who just moments before were arguing about who's going to be the closest, who's going to be in the lead. And in their inattention, in their desire to have their way, in their desire to have their agenda, they miss the miracle that's there before them. And yet Christ kneels down and with total forgiveness and unrestrained love, He washes their feet. The individuals that didn't get it, the individuals that didn't understand. My question for you this morning, my friends, is if there is anyone in our church family who we were having trouble with, who didn't get the message that we were passionate about, who didn't understand our point of view, if today you or I were to kneel down in front of them with a towel and with that same level of forgiveness, unrestrained, unqualified, and washed their feet, do you think there would be dissension in our church? That's what Christ did for us. That's what Christ did for the disciples. And that's what He expects of you and of me. He did that to demonstrate how we should treat each other. He did that that we would understand we should be committed to being servants, not concentrating so much on how we are served. Spiritual reasoning cannot be effective without surrender. Spiritual surrender cannot be maintained without fervent prayer. Not my will, but yours, O Lord, is the essential starting point for any kind of real reasoning. We as individuals and as a church must abandon what we individually want and submit to what God's plan calls for. Now let me say that again. We as individuals and as a church must abandon what we individually want and submit to what God's plan calls for. Are you and I prepared to do that? For the sake of truly following Jesus, am I willing to set aside my desires and with full commitment accept what God determines is best for His church? My friends, because if we are not, we do not stand in opposition to those that have a different idea than ours. We stand in naked opposition to God. And my friends, that's a very dangerous place to be when you stand in opposition to the Almighty. In Gethsemane, a weary and very troubled Jesus struggled with decisions. The course of events were weighing on him. The cost and the pathway ahead were not what he had expected. And they were demanding so much of his human character. They were demanding that he set aside his own desires. They were demanding that he deny his natural inclinations. What the man Jesus wanted. And so he reasoned with the Father. Abba, Father, isn't there any other way we can do this? This is more than I expected. It is more painful and demanding than I thought it would be. Is there no other choice? Is there no other solution? Before he had entered into this reasoning session, he had been and still was in deep and fervent prayer. He asked his closest friends to do likewise, because prayer is so important into entering to any kind of spiritual reasoning. Prayer first, submission and surrender second, then open and honest reasoning. That is the eternal example that Christ set for all of us when we come together to reason. It was not a quick or an easy decision before Christ. To accept that what was to be was not what he wanted took some time for him to process. More than once, the human personality pushed back from the prospect before him, only to be overcome by the divine commitment to follow the will of the Father. My Father, if it is possible, do not give me this cup of suffering. But do what you want, not what I want. What the human Jesus was reluctant to endure, the divine Christ was willing to suffer, was willing to accept on your behalf and on my behalf. Not my will, but yours be done. There it is, folks, etched in blood for you and for me. Not my will, but yours be done. Not what I want, but what I am willing to accept, because it is the righteous will of God. In spiritual reasoning, we as humans do not always get what we want. Praise God. However, when we are willing, as was Christ, to put our personal desires aside and accept God's will, we always get what is best for us, always unreserved. I am a sinner saved by grace and by mercy, bound for heaven because of the will of God. Come, let us reason together. The voice of reason in the kingdom of God is the voice of God that says, listen, I have the best plan. I know the right way. God will reason with us, but we need to listen. I believe the voice of reason spoke to Saul on the road to Damascus. Jesus reasoned with Saul, said to him, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he said, "I know it's hard for you to go against the grain, your grain, but it is what I determine is best." When God has a plan for your life, for our church, and we decide we have a better plan, things are going to be very hard. Ask Brother Jonah. The road from away from God is never easy. It's always hard. God reasoned with Abraham over Sodom and Gomorrah. God reasoned with Moses on the backside of the desert. And for every excuse that Moses brought out, God had a perfect answer for. Now God is calling us to reason together. Anytime we have conflict within our church, and anytime we have a church decision to make. So what should we say when we have these deliberations? We should say nothing until we have prayed and prayed and prayed. We should say nothing until we have surrendered our will, our own desires, to the will of God. We should say nothing about another church brother or sister, present or past, without remembering a kneeling Jesus, washing the feet of the disciples, and forgiving without reservation. We should say nothing unless it is how Jesus would say it. And yet, we should say everything in humility and conviction that the Holy Spirit leads us to say. Come, let us reason together. For the good and for the advancement of the body of Christ and His church, all to the glory of God, not to any individual or any group. In the scripture, Hebrews 3:13, we find this. But encourage each other every day while it is today. Help each other so none of you will become hardened because sin has tricked you. The author of Hebrews was admonishing new Christians not to fall back into their old ways, not to look to the past for how they should act towards each other, and not to focus on their own feelings. What great advice for you and I today. It is as contemporary as it gets. But encourage each other every day. Don't grumble. Don't complain. Don't tear down others when they don't meet your personal expectations. Don't pick up your marbles and go home just because the decision didn't go your way. Are you here to be served, or are you here to serve by lifting up the body of Christ? Encourage each other every day. My friends, don't miss the embedded message there. Encourage each other every day. If you are just having passing conversations with your brothers and sisters on Sabbath, you're missing the opportunity to encourage them every day. We should be visiting each other. We should be calling each other. Okay, we should be emailing each other. We should be communicating with each other daily and encouraging each other rather than disparaging each other. Now, the text goes beyond that. Encourage each other every day. The text says, don't wait while it is today. Now, that wasn't an accident that was put in there. By the sentence construct, that was an intentional emphasis. While it is today, encourage, lift up, help, rather than tear down. Help each other so none of you will become hardened because sin has tricked you. Had some trouble with that one. Help each other so none of you will become hardened because sin has tricked you. If we are not helpful, if we are not engaged in intentional encouragement of others, Scripture says we're at risk of sin. When we insist on having our own way, when we insist on pulling others down rather than lifting them up. Because they look differently, because they dress differently, because they have an opinion that's different than ours, we are not helping. We should encourage, not disparage. In the context of reasoning together as a church body, regarding any deliberation, how do we encourage each other? How do we help each other? If we are truly going to be helpful in any discourse, we got to be engaged. We have to participate. We have to share in a godly, prayerful, meaningful way our opinions. Don't be silent. We value your opinions. We rely on your counsel. As God directs you to share it with us, please do not feel that your opinion isn't important. Your opinion is important. As we all kneel together and say, God, remove our predispositions, remove our preconceptions, fill us with your Spirit, and make us united in following your will. Reasoning together means being willing to listen. In the text of Isaiah, it is the Lord Himself that invites us to listen in a discourse about reason. God says, look, you know and I know that there's sin in your life. You know that some of that sin is so ugly that you think it disqualifies you for my mercy. But I'm telling you, I love you so much, you are so dear to me, that if you will accept what I am offering of you, if you will take the gift I am extending to you, I can take away the stain of that sin. Listen to me. I want you to be in my family. In reasoning with us, in reasoning, God says, listen to me. I know the struggles you're having. I know the difficulties you face. But guess what? I have the answer. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But I guarantee you, I will be there with you. Prior to the crucifixion, Peter denied his Savior 3 times. And as the reality of what he had done sunk into him, it crushed him. After the resurrection, Christ approached Peter in a very quiet way. And 3 times he asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? The purpose of those 3 questions were not lost to Peter. But Jesus didn't point to him and said, you failed me. He didn't set Peter aside and say, man, you're not good enough. He said, Peter, do you love me? He counseled him. He reasoned with Peter about how to do what? To lead the church, to communicate with other believers, and how to interact. How to forgive himself. Thank you, sister. Jesus simply reasoned and said, listen to me. I have a better way. What has happened, my friends, in the past or the present, should not be used to speak unkindly of others. We are called to enter upon any reasoning opportunities, whether it's on an individual basis or a corporate basis in our church, uplifting each other, forgiving each other, coming together in prayer and saying, wow, we are all sinners saved by grace. But if we surrender And if we allow God to lead, we will get to where He wants us to be. After reasoning, there comes a time for action. Reasoning is the beginning, but there must be a time when decisions are made and the process moves forward. If fervent prayer has been convened, if full and complete surrender to God has been made, then there will be, without exception, the right decision that God would have us to do. It's against our human nature to follow that formula. I want my way. I know what's best. And you're just being stubborn. And God says, wait a minute. Every time I've let you do it your way, things have really not turned out well, have they, Rick? And they haven't. My friends, my prayer and my desire, personally and for this church, is that we spend more time in prayer, that we become as a family more committed to surrendering to the will of God, and that we spend more time encouraging, helping, and uplifting each other. Amen. If we do that, we cannot fail. If we don't do that, failure is guaranteed. So I invite you today, tomorrow, and every day, in our actions with each other, we're gonna stumble. Let's forgive. Let's reach out and say, hey, you know what? I've been silly myself. I've done things I shouldn't have done myself. But I believe every person in this congregation today is committed to following Christ. And if we're to follow Christ, then we must love, we must reach out, we must listen first and foremost to God, and then to what He would have us glean from each other in a godly way. We have great opportunities in front of us. God has a plan for this church that would amaze us if we're willing. My friends, Christ didn't want from His human nature to make the sacrifice He made. But He was willing for the sake of you and I to do exactly what God called Him to do. That is what we must do. Bow your heads with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, we cannot praise Your name enough. We cannot show enough gratitude that we have been saved by the gift of Your Son. Lord, today and every day, in our interactions, not only with our beloved church family, but in the world around us, Lord, help us to say and do what You would have us say and do. Remove our frail humanity. Infuse us with Your Holy Spirit. And let us approach every decision and every discourse and every challenge first in prayer and then in submission to Your will is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a final song. I love it, a closing song.
Our closing hymn is hymn number 430, Joy by Life. Everybody would just stand up.